Well, like Nancy said, I've been back here a good many times. I recognize many of you. Some of you, of course, are new since I bopped in here three different times. I was supposed to come the end of December in 2015. Darren had asked me to come and maybe preach at least one Sunday, maybe two. And I had to call him up at the last minute and say, I'm going to have bypass surgery at Riverside Hospital. I don't think it'd be a good thing for me to try to come because it was scheduled just a little bit before that. So I'm glad, we're both glad to be here today. Like I said, this is our second church home. Bruce has done such a fine job as liturgist, and Jessica does a wonderful job. I love the way she plays the hymns with vigor and stamina and her service music. And Darren was very helpful. And your secretary, she was very, very helpful. So I'm very pleased that so many of you were there and to do what needed to be done to make it easier for us to be here today. Would you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, let me ask you, what are the hymns and the songs of the church that have sustained you in happy times as well as sad times? Have you hummed them or have you sung them lately? Have you sung one of your favorites during the Sunday morning worship service in the last month or so? When I was an interim at our St. John's Church in Archibald, just before I left, I asked the people to write down their favorite hymn and put it in the offering plate, and we tried to sing, I think we sang most of them before I left doing my interim work there at Archibald Church. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, places such importance for them to sing together the hymns and songs that had been composed in those early days of Christianity. It is just as important for us in the church today to do the same thing. Congregational singing was an important part of the liturgy in the early church. Throughout the Middle Ages, when choirs were developed, the congregation sort of took a back seat as far as singing went. The church reformers, though, of the 15th and 16th centuries introduced congregational singing into the worship services, and it has played a prominent role in Christian worship up to the present day. Following Vatican II in the 1960s, the Roman Catholic Church has done better in hymn singing. Several years ago, when I attended Mass with my mother in Michigan, her home parish church, I could not believe the last hymn. Do you know what it was? Martin Luther's A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I just, wow, we've come a long way, baby. That's been a long, long hold. In the New England churches of our pilgrim foreparents, it was only the Old Testament Psalms that were allowed to be sung. Just think, only the Psalms in the Old Testament. Those were the only pieces of literature that could be set to music. And this occurred for many, many years. However, with the advent of a man like Isaac Watts, remember, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, an author of many other hymns. In the advent of him, often called the father of English hymnody, and other hymn writers, poetry inspired by all the scriptures, not just the Psalms, was eventually written, set to music, and sung in congregational worship. Many churches sponsor hymn sings and invite neighboring congregations to join together for an afternoon of evening of sacred song. I was thinking of the time that your wonderful, beautiful organ was rededicated here a few months ago. We sang a lot of hymns, and that was wonderful, with a little brief said something about each hymn. And that was a glorious time for all of us, especially for me, because I like to sing hymns. The first church that I served in Gomer, Ohio, up in Allen County, is of Welsh background. And, of course, the Welsh like to say, and I don't know whether it's true or not, that they were the first group of people to compose four-part church music. Like I said, I don't know whether that's true, but that's what they say. On the first Sunday in October, in the evening, people gather from all over to sing hymns. Used to be only in Welsh, but now just a few choruses in Welsh, because most of the people don't know the Welsh language anymore. And it's called, what they come together to sing is a Gamanvagani. Have you ever been to a Gamanvagani? No. Gani is song. Gamanva is festival, a festival of a song. And I know when I was pastor there in 59, came in the late summer, and when the first Sunday in October came, and I heard, I just couldn't believe the sound. In fact, I went out of the church for a little while, because the windows were all open, to hear the sound, the four-part sound of the music coming, just filling the outdoors region. And it's breathtaking. It's soul-searching and soul-warming. There is something exhilarating and deeply spiritual when we are part of a group singing praises to God or listening to a fine choir. We are lifted into the heavenly realms. We are truly experiencing life in the active voice. The sung verses help us to know in our hearts the great love that God has for us, that he loved the world so much that he gave his son Jesus, that whoever would believe and trust in him would never die but know everlasting life. To sing about the birth, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of our Savior helps us to plant God's whole drama of salvation firmly in our hearts and minds. How spiritually impoverished we would be if we didn't have those wonderful hymns and Sunday school songs to rely on. Life just would not be the same. Be the Music was a TV advertisement for DTK Stereo several years ago. And I believe that it's a slogan the Apostle Paul would have used when he was writing to the church at Ephesus. I believe that's a slogan we can use here at First UCC. It moves life from the passive voice to the active voice. Be the church, sing the faith, and then in your day-to-day living, be what you sing about. I have to stop and think, and I know I don't always do it, when I sing a hymn or hymn goes through my mind, what are those words saying to me as to what I should be about to do? How does it move me to be a Christian, to go about doing what the hymn says? Let the words and the music get a tight hold on us and give direction to our thoughts and our behavior. Be the music when it comes to the way we speak and listen to other people. Be the music. Be the music when it comes to the way we care for the environment, God's creation. Be the music when we are asked to share our gifts, our talents, and our money with the local ministries of Galleon Church. Be the music when we speak to visitors and invite them to become a part of our Christian fellowship. Be the music when we have an opportunity to go on a mission trip to the Gulf Coast, to Back Bay, or to El Salvador, to the Resurrection Church in San Salvador. Let us ask God that we be the music wherever we are. And as we become the music that we sing from those great hymns and choruses and Sunday school songs, let us also remember this, and this is important, that this is rehearsal time for the heavenly choir. We will take our place with greater ease in that house of many rooms that Christ has prepared for us if the hymns and songs of the earth have gotten a tight hold on us to give us direction to our thoughts and our behavior. Let us all be the music, singing to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all our hearts, always, and everything, giving thanks to God. Pray with me. Oh God, we pray that we can be the music, that the words of "What a friend we have in Jesus, it is well with my soul," all praises, thanks to you, O God, that those words might truly be a tight hold on our lives so that we can share what they mean with our brothers and sisters, with our families. Help us to be the music today in our community, in your world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.